It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now with Graham Creech, here's A.J. Jakubek.
And a good Thursday afternoon to you. A.J. Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Conisvita. This is The Drive on TSN 1200. Today on the program, oh, it's a music theme Thursday. It's a takeout Thursday with Gabriel Pizza. Oh, we got a lot going on. It's a game day. Canada taking on Slovakia. Pregame show 5:30. Puck drop 6 o'clock. Jim Taddy, Sean Simpson. Kick you off with your coverage at 5:30. Listen to one of the intermissions yesterday on my drive. Simmer sounded good on his birthday. Bringing it. It was good to see Canada with a win. Ridley Gregg, highlight reel goal. And Canada taking on Slovakia today in Edmonton. At 2:25, we'll be joined by James Derwin, head coach of the Ottawa Blackjacks and the Ottawa Gee-Gees. Both teams in action this week. Gee-Gees played a couple games on the weekend, and the Blackjacks hoping to play two this weekend, starting tomorrow with the semifinals in the CEBL Championship weekend as they take on Hamilton, 7 o'clock tomorrow at TD Place. So James Derwin will be by at 7 o'clock, is your game time, but at 2:25 here today. And Travis Yost at 3:05 had a nice article on defensemen and grading them around the National Hockey League yesterday. Ottawa's group in the fourth tier, so still needs improvement. I don't disagree with where he's got Ottawa. There's a few teams that he's got in the fifth tier. So that's a good thing, but could definitely use another defenseman there, and we'll talk to Travis Yost about that at 3:05. There's some Robin Leonard news. There's a Field of Dreams game today between the Reds and the Cubs. Got a big CFL game tonight, Montreal and Winnipeg, and much more. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Graham Creech, happy Thursday. How are you?
Oh, terrific. Get used to these hours here. The 2 to 6, well, 2 to 5:30 for a couple days. Not bad, eh? Not bad. You can still get a lot of stuff done before your show, including prep. And then you're off at 6. Not bad. Not bad.
Off at 5:30.
Yeah. I just mean usually, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, good. Matt Conisvita, happy Thursday. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. Looking forward to another show with you fellas. An early finish for all three of us today. And a little Canada action. Listen to a little bit of Simmer on my drive home. Looking forward to it. And it's a music theme Thursday. It's a couple of our listeners' favorite day of the week. Uber C and Grrr the Mad. And Grrr the Mad has been mad with me lately because he's sent me about a million themes, and I haven't used any of them. I'm using one of them today.
Oh.
So, Grr, you can settle down.
Can I take a stab at it? I don't think it's correct, but
absolutely.
I've got a guess early. Songs from The Sopranos.
Incorrect. But I like the guess.
That's all I got.
I like the guess a lot.
Too early for me.
I do have a follow-up.
Okay.
Did he give you the order in which to play them?
He gave me an order. I usually ignore it.
Okay.
usually with Grr, and his themes have been becoming more and more researched and more thought out, but I use them as a template a lot of the time. And a lot of the time, I don't necessarily agree with the order that he gives. I think I started with the song he started with, and I might follow today. I'm feeling a little lazy, so I might just do Gurr's theme as he presented it to me. But, yeah, hopefully you guys find it a credible theme today.
So, Josh comes in, is today's theme songs that are not from Kim Mitchell.
Yes. I mean, that's not the theme in question, but
we will not hear from Kim Mitchell.
No. And Creature, when you were on vacation, I did a music theme Thursday. Might have been 2 weeks ago. And I actually played Kim Mitchell.
And in the theme.
And Max Webster.
Who was hosting? Was Lee was around?
I was here.
Oh, no, it's you.
I think it
Sorry.
Was, I think I it was
gapping.
Lee. and AJ.
Yeah,
you're the one that hates them. I think the other two guys are.
I don't
okay.
You know what?
There's no strong
in terms
dislike.
Of the three. Like we all know, I don't like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's just a thing. It's not something to be cool. It's just nails on a chalkboard for me. It's the way it's been since I was 16 years old. I've not liked them, and when I hear it, it's pain. There's a couple of songs there where it's like, okay, Higher Ground's not terrible. But for the most part, I just can't take it.
I was in a drive-through before driving to Toronto last weekend, and Roller Coaster of Love came on, and all I could think of was you doing the over-the-top dance to it. It's like, oh, man, AJ would be switching the station right now.
Switching it.
If he was listening to
this. Quick switch. But, like, the other two, like, Lee, well, I'm again, Lee's got, and Lee and I have certain similar tastes, but he's got a lot of strange bands that he just doesn't like. Like the Beatles. It kind of boggles my mind that you not like the Beatles. Well, you don't have
it's
to
just not even,
you don't have to love the Beatles.
It goes beyond that. It's like anything from the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
Like anything.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. But the David Wilcox thing, I mean, I like David Wilcox. And Kim Mitchell.
I don't like David Wilcox. I don't hate him. Like whenever you guys go to David Wilcox, I'm like,
I like a little David Wilcox. And Kim Mitchell. Yeah. Kim Mitchell's fine.
So bad.
Oh, Kim Mitchell's so not bad. As bad as you make him out to be.
Well, I played Max Webster, Diamonds, Diamonds, and both Lee and AJ were like, this is a bad song. My theme that day was artists that have two first names.
Kim Mitchell. I like it.
Max Webster.
Max Webster.
It was a double fit.
That's pretty good.
And came up with that theme. I was driving home from a wedding in Toronto. And Chelsea and I, some song came on, and we started talking about, because whichever song came on.
Does that count? Because
no,
it's Adam, it's pluralized?
Adams doesn't count.
Oh, that's so close.
We started talking about it, and I was like, I wonder if I could do a full theme of artists that have two first names. And then we just start rattling them off, and it's like, I could do a full week's shows of artists who have two first names. And she was like, you've got to play Kim Mitchell. And I got a little upset, but... It's like, you know what? If we get into the third hour and no one solved it, I'll play Kim Mitchell. And sure enough, little Max Webster, Diamonds, Diamonds. So bad. So bad. Such a bad song. But that is not the theme today. We started with Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. It's a Grr the Mad theme. And hopefully Grr will be less mad with me this week, although I don't really care.
If that was him, to me, I would never use one of his themes. Simple as that. He's getting mad that we're not using his themes. I would just never use it.
Is he getting mad,
period.
Though?
Let me look back through the 17 emails I've gotten from him.
Come on. Is Kim Mitchell really playing the Shawville Fair on Friday? Is that a thing? Like,
there's a quick way to find out.
Yeah.
Normally there's a quick way, but my computer's frozen.
That would be amazing if Kim Mitchell is actually playing the Shawville
Fair.
We
have to go.
Well,
zero chance.
I can't go Friday because I'm going to the CEBL Championship weekend. And, of course, we got James Derwin talking about that in a few minutes' time. All right, let's get to Canada with a win to start the World Juniors yesterday over Latvia. And, you know, I'm not going to break down a win over Latvia, but just the performance from Ridley Gregg. I didn't watch the whole game. I probably watched half creature, but saw the highlights, and certainly every time Ridley Gregg's on the ice, he's noticeable as a guy that busting his rear end, but he'll look at the skill that he possesses as well. And look, you don't want to start throwing out comparisons to, you know, whether it's, I mean, we've heard about the Kadri comparison, heard the Marchand comparison, but man, you look at the way this guy competes, but also the skill level that he possesses. And it's fun just to think about what an important piece he could be. Never mind this year, whether he starts in the AHL, whether he, you know, plays the entire year in the AHL, whether it's split 50-50 or somewhere near that, like you and I predicted, whether he breaks out down the door and makes the team right out of the gate, because basically says, you're not sending me down. I'm staying up. I'm an NHL player. Regardless of what we see this year, it's just fun to look at him play and project him down the road and see a guy that could be a real important piece to this Ottawa Senators team.
Yeah, I think the skill thing is the most exciting because everyone else knows, like everyone knows what else and a big part of his game is, but just the way that the coaches talk about him, the way that you watch his games. So you know that every night you're going to get that pesty side of him, that the guy that's throwing big hits, borderline hits, can play two ways. You're able to chip in with some points in a top six role when you're at your peak in the NHL. That's the bonus part that gets you excited. Cause he, all of a sudden, like that's why Brad Marchand and Nazem Kadri are such dangerous players because they can hurt you in more than one way. And they're not some guy that's buried down the lineup that's physical and nasty and hard to play against. It's someone that's in both their cases, point of game players. It's wild.
So 2 points to start the tournament for Ridly Gregg. Zach Ostapchuk had an assist to get the win over Latvia yesterday. Today, they get another game that you would think they should be able to win. There's some good young prospects on this Slovak team, but it should be pretty smooth sailing. And again, as long as Russia is continually banished from double IHF hockey, and who knows how long that's going to last, basically as long as they're invading a sovereign nation, this tournament is, especially in the early rounds, it's going to be lacking more quality games, right? Because at least in one division, you could basically say, okay, well, there's three powerhouses in one division. So you might get a Canada, Russia, and Finland, for example, in one division, and U.S. and Sweden in the other. And you're guaranteed, you know, at least in one division, a couple of pretty good games. But now, if both divisions have two powerhouses, Czechs, you know, it's pretty encouraging in terms of how the Czechs did in the past draft, and the Slovaks as well, with, you know, back-to-back Slovaks to start the draft. But Slovakia is a small country, and when you're talking about an age group situation, right, this is not the World Championships, this is not best on best, where you've got guys over 10 to 12 age groups, for the most part, playing for your national team. You're talking about limited pool of players. And that's going to be dominated by a handful of nations. And as long as Russia's out of this tournament, man, there's going to be a lot of games, Creature, where I think we sit back and kind of wait for the one big one in the round robin. And then it's like, okay, bring on the medal round, right? I think it's...
I'm like that anyways.
It's going to hurt this tournament.
Like I've said all week, that's my standard. That's usually how I take in this tournament, is I follow it, but I don't get excited till the New Year's Eve game, because that's always the... If it's the Americans are in their pool, that's when they're playing the Americans. If they're not, whoever the next biggest rival is, whether it's Russia or Finland or Sweden, whatever it is. So I think that's the case for me anyways, but you're right. Like it really feels like you're just waiting for the semifinals. I think what I'm most interested in from a non-Canadian perspective would be how good is Sweden? Are they going to be able to give the Americans a run in that division? I think that's the only pre-semifinal storyline that doesn't involve the Canadians or Sens prospects that I'm looking into.
Meantime, our TSN1200.ca web poll question of the day: who would you like to see run the Sens power play? Shabbat, Brännström, or a fifth forward? Cast your vote now at TSN1200.ca. It's for the Tool and Equipment Store. You know what? I'm going to hold off on this for a while, and maybe we'll revisit it later in the show after we talk to Travis Yost. But without giving an explanation, what's your answer?
Who would you like to see to run the Sens power play?
Yeah, Shabbat Branstrom, fifth forward.
I'm going to answer, no explanation. We'll explain later.
Yeah, we'll explain later.
Fifth forward.
Okay. I voted Shabbat, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. Matt Konosvita, Shabbat Branstrom, fifth forward.
I'm also going Shabbat, but I don't love all three of these options. So it's Shabbat sort of by default. But I think I'm going to end up being on the same page as you, as scary as that is, AJ, that Shabbat, but far from a slam dunk.
The fifth forward option intrigues me for sure. It's dangerous, but it's certainly intriguing. Your five best offensive players are certainly forwards. So we'll wait and see. We'll talk to Travis Yost about that and all things Senators blue line and what else could be out there in terms of possible offseason acquisitions. Could there be an opening for someone from the Islanders if they end up signing a Nazem Kadri? That'll be an interesting conversation for sure. All right, when we come back, talk some basketball. James Derwin, head coach of the Ottawa GGs and the Ottawa Blackjacks. Busy week for the coach. And we'll chat basketball when we come back.
Sorry, just so we don't forget it, Kim Mitchell is indeed playing the Shawville Fair, but it's in September. September 2nd, the Friday night, 9 to 10:30.
I'll be in Montreal.
I know where I'm not going to be. Shawville.
I haven't been to the Shawville Fair in a while.
I'll be in Montreal, Red Blacks, Alouettes, and then
No reason to go now. You know what? Go to the Shawville Fair.
I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
Don't go Friday night, though.
I'd love to go, but like I said, I got Red Blacks, Alouettes, and then that'll be my Syracuse Lake Placid weekend after that. Looks like next year when it comes to the Shawville Fair. Need to get out there, though. All right, James Derwin, when we come back, as we continue with a drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
It's the drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Konosvita. Let's go right to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline for our next guest. He's a busy man, coach of the Ottawa GGs. He's the interim coach of the Ottawa Blackjacks, and they're in the CEBL Championship weekend beginning tomorrow, semifinals. Taking on Hamilton at 7 o'clock. It'll be Niagara and Scarborough at 4 o'clock. James Derwin, head coach of the GGs and Blackjacks, joins us now. How are you doing today, James?
I'm doing well. Thanks, AJ. It's a lot going on, but looking forward to a big weekend.
How's work-life balance this week treating you?
I think we got it under control, but I think knowing that at least half of this will come to an end on hopefully Sunday, I think, has everybody, putting things in perspective, I guess, that we got a few more days here and then life will slow down a little bit.
So it sounds like really busy week for you, but is it a normal week for the players just preparing as hosts?
I think that we're trying to do our best to keep it as normal as possible. Certainly there's some banquets and things that have happened, but other than that, I mean, being at home, they haven't changed living arrangements or anything. Our practice schedule is pretty much the same. So, while their coach is running around, all over the place, I don't think that they're affected by any of this.
In terms of the lineup, how challenging is it at this time of year? You've got teams in Europe that want some of their players back. I see Johnny Brhana-Muskel signed with a team in Ukraine today, the Ukrainian champions. So he's going to be off to Latvia, where they are hosted right now. Tommy Scrubb in Spain. You got Jackson Rowe going to Europe. In terms of regulars, who are some of the guys that you won't have available to you this weekend?
Well, Jackson Rowe left on Tuesday for Germany, so we won't have him. And then, unfortunately, Johnny did sign with a Ukrainian team that will be based out of Italy, obviously, with everything going on in Ukraine. And he also left on Wednesday. So, we'll have Tommy and, we'll have the rest of the core, for the game. But unfortunately, unfortunately for us, but, some great opportunities for our players, which, is a big part of this league. So, You know, we want them to showcase their talents in the summer here and create bigger and better opportunities for them. So it's bittersweet, but, you know, we'll be ready for Friday. And we've managed throughout most of the season with these kinds of changes on a game-to-game basis. So we're well prepared for it.
Yeah, how is it managing those emotions? Because obviously in your role at Ottawa, you're preparing these guys potentially for professional jobs, where in this case, you want those guys to stay with you, but at the same time, if they can find a great spot to enhance their career, that's terrific for them. So what's that like for you riding that roller coaster ride?
I mean, I think throughout the first part of taking over here, I'll be honest, the in and out of the lineups I struggled with, focusing on wins and losses and knowing the importance of continuity and how big that is with the university game. But, as the season, progressed and I saw not only our team, but I think every team in the league, not every team does have to deal with it. And then on top of that, you get to know these guys and they're professionals and they have families and they have lives and, these contracts that come up for them, it's beyond their control that when and when they have to be there. So, I've certainly come to learn how to live with it and accept it. And if it affects me too much, then I won't be ready and the team will feel that. So I think now I'm well prepared for it. And it certainly does. I'm happy for them as they get their opportunity.
You took over the reins. You're working as the director of, what was it, basketball analytics and strategy was your title, and took over after an 0-3 start. Charles Dubé-Bray was let go. It took some time to kind of turn this team around, starting 1-7. But, since that time, a lot of progress and 7 wins in the last 12 games. What's been the biggest difference for you in terms of the turnaround on the court with this group?
Well, I think we've made some roster changes and the GM, Javon Shepherd's been able to plug in, especially around the fringes here with some great role people and guys coming in. And then obviously, we've been able to add some higher end talent as well with, at times to have Johnny, Walt, Dang, Jackson, Tom, all these guys in the lineup. When we were at full strength, we were, at least in the top three in terms of talent. So, obviously that jumped off the page, but I think also just these guys getting to know each other and getting to know me and understanding what I'm looking for in our system that we've put in place. And I'm thrilled with the progress of the team, and we've gutted out some really good wins, and especially our last win in Edmonton, shorthanded there. We've really seen the progress with these guys, and we're excited for Friday.
Yeah, you're excited, so there must be some good positive vibes going into this, given your history of late and one-on-one. But just overall, being hosts, the combined record against your opponent, and being the 8th seed that gets into the semifinals, where your confidence level at? How are the guys feeling? Sorry, the other thing to include is losing 2 key players as well. Where's the confidence level at?
Well, I think the group that's remaining is from the most part has been with us since day one, and I think that sits really well with the group. The chemistry of the 10-12 guys that are still here is fantastic. I've had an absolute blast coaching these guys; they get along great. So, in terms of confidence, it's high, and obviously, like you said, that the opportunity here getting to skip the line and go right to the semifinal. We understand that we're fortunate to be in this position. We understand that we've got the home crowd, and we've had 10 days to prepare for one opponent, which is like a bye week in the NFL or something, right? They're confident, we're prepared, and the synergy and chemistry with the 10 that are remaining is really a lot of fun. So I think if anything, we're excited for Friday, and we feel confident that we can compete with Hamilton.
Dang Adele and Walt Lemon Jr. are two guys that have come to you with a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit of NBA experience. What drives these guys, and are they players that can get back to that level?
Certainly, they're you know, two of the top talents in our league. You know, two guys that have NBA skill sets. I mean, Walt's athleticism and speed. You know, I've certainly never coached or coached against anybody with that kind of burst. You know, and he's a consummate pro. He works on his craft. He's completely dedicated to being a professional basketball player. And it's been he's a tough Chicago kid, and I think, you know, some of that takes some getting used to, I think. But when you sort of peel away at who he is, he's a great guy, and you know, like he's certainly an NBA athlete. He might be a little further on in his career. I think he's moving past sort of that NBA G League opportunities. And then Deng, only at 25, you know, a 6'7", 6'8 wing that can shoot it, can handle it. I mean, you know, he's off to Denmark in the fall, but I mean, from being around him and seeing him when he's on his game, I mean, there's it's hard to imagine that he's not really close to NBA level when he's, you know, like I said, when he's playing really well. He can pass, he's athletic, he can shoot it. So I mean, you're certainly looking at, if not NBA level talent, you know, whatever would be right below that. And me personally, I still think that you know, Deng should be, and hopefully one day we'll get that opportunity. He's certainly capable.
What challenges does Hamilton present?
Oh man, they're they're loaded. I mean, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, they've got their full roster here. They've added Aaron Best, someone that USport fans know very well from the Ryerson days, and they've got Caleb, obviously from Ottawa U, that won the Canadian Player of the Year last night and was runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. They've got two NBA Summer League guys in Tillman and Vital. They got the Coach of the Year in Coach Schmidt. I mean, yeah, they're loaded. I mean, they've had a great season. They're 14-6. They got the best defense in the league. And, man, it's they present all kinds of problems. And we're going to have to be really good to beat them on Friday, that's for sure.
James Derwin is our yes, the head coach of the Ottawa Blackjacks and the Ottawa GGs. You know, one more on Caleb Agata. What was it like, and what's it going to be like again coaching against him? Because obviously a guy that you had for 5 years as part of your program with the Ottawa GGs, it must have been fun to coach a guy like Johnny Brahanamuskel again. But is there mixed emotions when you see a guy like that, that I'm sure you've been rooting for, you know, ever since he graduated from Ottawa, to have to go against him?
Yeah, I think we both feel that way. You know, we've talked about it, you know, throughout the summer. And, you know, when Johnny was with us, I think there was a little bit of a playful type of vibe in the gym when they're going against each other. But, I mean, you know, Friday night, I mean, you know, our relationship, Caleb and I, are very close. And, you know, like you said, we follow our players throughout their career. And obviously Caleb's rise since, you know, being really a 17-year-old here on campus as a freshman and to where he's gotten is phenomenal. Couldn't be more proud of him and the community work and everything that he's, you know, that he does off the court as well. But, you know, I mean, on Friday, he's going to try to beat me. There's no doubt about that. And in fact, I think he probably plays a little looser when he's playing against me. So that doesn't work in my favor. But, you know, like, look, I you know, I got nothing but an absolute, you know, love for the kid. And if we were able to beat him, I know he'll be happy for me. And if we fall short, then, you know, he knows that I'll be rooting for him in the final on Sunday. So that being said, we're looking forward to playing him on Friday, and I'm going to give him everything we got. That's for sure.
Your GG's team had three games recently against Northern Illinois, Northeastern, and Florida State. What did you come away with from those three games? I mean, the two home games, you know, Northeastern ended up with wins over both Carleton and your program, and Florida State both with lopsided wins over your program and Carleton as well. So, you know, you're up against two pretty good opponents in Northeastern and Florida State when they were here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we were shorthanded, certainly with some injuries, you know, some offseason stuff, and that we weren't, you know, willing to take any chances on. And we got the opportunity to play some of our freshmen and in big minutes, and just see how they could compete against two very good Division I teams. you know, there's times, you know, I think when our program, you know, can roll out fourth and fifth year guys, and we look at those games a little differently. But and I know that, you know, the competition, you know, the Canadian fans love to see us sort of knock off a D1 school. But this year we were really focused on getting our young guys a ton of time. Despite maybe the final scores, there was a lot of positives in the game, and we're really excited about our young core moving forward, and we got to see a lot of that in those three games.
Any of the veteran guys going to be back when you see Oregon in a couple of weeks?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, they're all close. Again, like at being a early August, you know, we got a long season in the OUA, and it goes right all the way to mid-March, so we have to be smart. But we'd like to have Josh and possibly Dragon back, and certainly that would help us. Oregon's another big-time Division I program. But, you know, I mean, the Division I coaches and the U Sport coaches understand that these aren't, you know, playoff games. You know, I mean, there's times when we certainly treat them that way, but you have to look at your youth and your roster and your health and make sure you don't jeopardize anything for the season. But, you know, it's obviously just a thrill to have, you know, Oregon and Florida State, these big time Division I programs come through, and the fans get a glimpse of some of the athleticism down there. So it's all positive, and you know, that for everyone involved, and I'm looking forward to hosting Oregon and their great team. So it should be a lot of fun.
What kind of team do you think you're going to have this year?
Well, when all the pieces are there, I'm excited. You know, obviously, like Guillaume, you know, Papin is coming back for what would be his senior year. He's been with the Blackjacks, and he's had a ton of experience playing with them. And so he hasn't suited up for us yet, and he's still signed and working with the Blackjacks. So obviously, we're having a big season from him and getting him back. Josh Nkumsah as well. Unfortunately, he rolled his ankle in the first quarter of the Florida State game, so that put him out for the next two. So we have big plans for Josh, and then our two young guards, Dragon and Cole Newton, who Dragon's out unfortunately with a torn fascia in his foot, but he's had an exceptional summer, and Cole's obviously had a couple great performances in the Division I games, and then we've got this core of young freshmen that I'm excited about. I think it may not be the start that we're used to, but I'm excited about where we're going to be in February and March, and you know, give it a go to get to nationals and try to win this thing.
Last one for you. What would you do if you're coaching a team and Kevin Durant says it's you or me, who has to go?
Oh man, is that unbelievable? Or I mean, that situation is I mean, it's our Canadian guy and Steve and coaching that team. And you know, that's a great question. I mean, at this point, the player empowerment era, I mean, I'm all for the guys getting paid and certainly having some say in the way that, you know, their careers are handled. But, I mean, I think this has taken it to a whole other level. And following the Ben Simmons fiasco, you know, these aren't great things for the league and for our sport. And, you know, I hope they get that sorted out quickly. And if it's moving on, fine. If you know, getting him in line with what the franchise is trying to do, then that's fine too. But man, it's just not a good look. I don't think anybody would argue that. It's really unfortunate. Durant is such a talent and such a future Hall of Famer that, you know, these are not things that we want in our sport. And I'm hoping that they get that resolved quickly.
Has there ever been a team with three divas to the extent that you've got Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant's probably like the third in terms of bringing the most amount of drama into that locker room?
I mean, you watch the Jordan documentary there during the summer, and you get a little bit of Pippen and Rodman and where they were at that time. And I mean, it doesn't even come close, right? Like, I think the thing that gets lost sometimes is that they've lost in the first round of the playoffs in a couple of back-to-back years as well. So, you know, it's not like they're holding the cards to a championship team. And yet, no, I mean, I can't think of anything, at least not any functional team. You know, I mean, maybe you go back to the 90s with the Clippers or when Jason Kidd and Jimmy Jackson and those guys were in Dallas. But those were all dysfunctional teams, right? Like this one is a playoff team. And, you know, Hall of Famers, and you know, I've never seen anything like it, and I was excited. I honestly thought, you know, at the beginning of the summer, they had sort of claimed that they were going to move on from it. I thought that's the direction they were going to go, and as a fan, I was sort of excited and proud that they were going to move off from it, but you know, just like the Ben Simmons saga from last year, I don't think this is going to end quickly, and it's probably going to get uglier before it gets better. And again, this is stuff that the NBA and our sport, you know, this isn't good for anybody. And like I said, the sooner it gets resolved, the better.
Just specifically for KD, is given kind of the way it's played out lately, would you shy away from wanting to see your favorite team or a team you worked for acquire him?
I just think it's the price tag that is so critical here. You know, like I believe he's 33, turning 34. You know, he's got some injury history. You know, am I giving up Scottie Barnes? Like, absolutely not. And now, of course, Brooklyn's at a situation that's similar to some other teams where, you know, the other teams know that they've got the upper hand. They've got the negotiating power now because he wants to leave. And so, I mean, at what price tag, you know, what did I read yesterday that they wanted both Tatum and Brown from Boston? You know, like these are like, come on, right? Like this is, these are absolute no's, but if you can, you know, if you're a Masai and you can pull off a Kawhi for DeMar and you know, a couple pieces, then, you know, certainly, you know, at that price tag. But I mean, some of the four first round picks and a young superstar, like there's just no chance that I'm even considering that and what comes with it on and off the court at this point.
James, always good stuff. Appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend. Look forward to the game tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and I'll see you this weekend, AJ.
Sounds good. James Derwin, head coach of the Ottawa GGs and Ottawa Blackjacks, joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Yeah, I'm sure work-life balance. It's a busy job. If you're just coaching the Ottawa GGs, that's a busy job. That's a year-round job, recruiting, everything that you have to do, and add in his summer role with the Blackjacks and taking over partway through the season. Got to give him a lot of credit, though. He helped right the ship because they were not looking good at 0-3 when they fired their head coach in Charles Dubé Bray. And then at 1-7, you're thinking, man, is there going to be a 4 or 5 win team in championship weekend? They at least look competitive, 8-12. They'll take on the top seed Hamilton tomorrow at 7. Again, Niagara and Scarborough at 4 o'clock. Championship game also 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Back with more in a moment. Travis Yost at 3:05 to talk Blue Line and the Ottawa Senators as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
All right, top hour break coming up shortly. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Konosfida. It is a music theme Thursday and a takeout Thursday. So before we get to the song list, Graham Creech.
I'm feeling wings right now.
All right.
And I'm going hot and honey.
Hot and honey wings. So what you need to know as a good listener, when we call for the sounder, that is not now, when we call for the sounder, and when you hear it, you need to be caller 15 at 750-1200 and know that Graham Creech likes hot and honey wings sometime between now and 6 o'clock.
Now would be great if we could get them.
Well, it's never a bad time for hot and honey wings from Gabriel Pizza.
No. I think Bunda's on his drive-in. I've already got a text from him. He's probably pulling over right now or trying to locate the nearest Gabe's, get some wings himself.
Love hot and honey wings. Oh. Now, do you have a dip with them?
No, not usually. I can, but I don't typically dip.
I'm a big sour cream guy with wings.
I know you are.
But if you have garlic dill, like, oh my God, slather that stuff in garlic dill.
What did you get one time? I know this about you because you sent something back one time. I don't remember.
Oh,
what.
They gave me blue cheese.
Blue cheese. So. Yeah, the blue cheese bandit is now Matt Konosfida.
I can't do blue cheese. I'm not, like, I can if I absolutely have to, but Yeah, I think the options were ranch or blue cheese. And, yeah, I was not doing the blue cheese. Not a chance.
So, Matt Conosfita, what's her song list?
So, we started with Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. Had a little Lights by Journey. And now, Fountains of Wayne with Stacy's Mom. It's a Grrr the Mad theme today. So put on your thinking caps.
All right. Three down. I guess eight to go. Because we're here till 5:30. It's a Canada game day taking on Slovakia. Pre-game show with Jim Taddy and Sean Simpson. And the puck drop at 6 o'clock from Edmonton. When we come back, we'll talk some puck with Travis Yost, TSN.ca. Latest piece about grading defensemen, where the Ottawa Senators stand. Hour one in the books. This is The Drive on TSN 1200.